Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
We're back.
We are.
Do you have New Year's resolutions?
You know, last year I said I wanted to get knocked out. I didn't end up getting knocked out.
Yeah, you had an exercise plan, which was to take up boxing so somebody would deck you.
I mean, I did do boxing for a while, and then I kind of fell off.
Knocked you out?
Nobody knocked me out. Mostly it
nobody
was like...
smacked you in the kisser?
It wasn't really sparring. It was more just like getting the technique.
That's the thing. All the things that seem like they'd be cool. Like when I was a kid, I really liked Star Wars, and I took like 3 fencing classes in Philadelphia. And they're like, okay, so we're going to do 6 months of footwork, and then we'll give you a glove.
Why couldn't I have just walked into the gym, and then just someone immediately punches me in the face?
That's a better gym. Okay, you have no New Year's resolutions.
No, I don't want to do a resolution this year because I feel like I failed so badly at getting knocked out. What about you? Do you have a New Year's resolution?
Last year, I think my resolution was to be more confrontational.
Oh, right. How'd it go?
Let me think for a second if I confronted more people in the last year. What I remember is like a couple weeks ago, I was driving and this guy took my parking spot. Like I was backing into it and he swooped in and took it. And I was like, dude. And he was like, oh, I was looking at my window and I saw this parking spot. I really wanted it. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And I was driving away. I was like, that made no sense.
That's great. Great. You got way more confrontational.
Okay. So I guess this year my New Year's resolution is to stand up for myself again. Wait, actually, I just realized that my last year's New Year's resolution, that was actually an old resolution. My last year's one was to engage in less feuds.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
And?
It didn't work out that well.
Who are you feuding with?
I don't think I should say.
No, I think you should.
No. Okay, so no resolutions, nothing. There's not one thing you want to have in this year. There's not even a self-improvement thing. Zip zero.
Oh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead. Sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet, toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use. From pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $2,300 off select kitchen packages from top brands like GE Profile. That means you can save on a new GE Profile Smart Quad Door Refrigerator that's full of convenient features like a dual dispense autofill pitcher and an ice dispenser with up to 12.5 pounds capacity. Bring convenience to your kitchen with smart, innovative appliances from GE Profile. Right now, save up to $2,300 on select kitchen packages with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
All right. I just feel like you don't realize it, but you're setting me up.
I don't think I'm setting up all you're the just, times. All, I think sometimes I'm setting up. I don't think this time I'm setting
up. I know. That's the thing that's so frustrating about it, is if I answer this honestly, it's going to be hard for you to resist, like, making fun of me.
Well, let's try.
All right. Okay.
Is it to make, like, an album of synthesizer music?
It's on that track.
Okay.
I really want to be able to automate several parameters on many synthesizers simultaneously from one central digital audio workstation so that I can make them all play autonomously, and I can edit the parameters so that the filter moves at a specific time or like the decay changes.
Did you steal your resolution from a robot?
MIDI CC is really difficult and I'm trying to learn it.
If it makes you happy, I support you.
See, I knew it. Like
if it makes you happy, I support you.
You said that after the thing about the robot. But that is the thing I'm focused on learning this year.
If it makes you happy, I support you. Honestly, I feel like you have a better chance learning this obscure nerdy thing that I do at changing my personality even 1 degree. So probably next year, we can open the show with some weird synthesizer music and I'll still be feuding non-confrontationally with the world.
Fair enough. And it's not that obscure.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Before we start the show,
mm-hmm.
One bit of housekeeping because we've heard from people about this.
Yes.
We didn't do our year-end extravaganza this year. Past, present, future.
Past, Present, Future, for anybody who's listening, is the end of the year show where we sort of go over updates of episodes that have happened in the past year or several past years. And I didn't realize how beloved it was until we didn't do it.
Me neither. And as we've said in the past, we don't do it on years that are the beginning of a new decade, but we do it every other year.
This is a very convenient lie you've just made up.
No, we just got busy with the big end of year series, but we're going to do it again next year. And in the next few months, there are some stories that we've reported that have had really interesting developments in them. So we're going to do some updates, even though it won't be in one big end of year extravaganza. We will be looking back a little bit.
But we've learned our lesson. We'll do it at the end of the year.
Yeah, we're sorry for disappointing you. Okay. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
From Gimlet, this is Reply All. I'm PJ Vogt.
And I'm Alex Goldman.
Alex, yes. Bloomberg.
Yes.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Welcome once again to Yes, Yes, No, the segment on the show where our boss, Alex Bloomberg, comes to us with something he doesn't understand from the internet. We do our best to explain it to him, and sometimes we succeed, sometimes we don't.
Man, that was the best one you've ever done.
Yeah, that was a concise. I find no fault in that explanation.
That was amazing.
Thanks, guys.
5 years in.
5 years
in. You nailed it.
Can't just let it be, huh?
All right. So, after 5 years of doing this with you guys, I now understand the internet perfectly, so I no longer have any questions. But sometimes what I do is I send out a tweet to my legions and legions and legions of followers.
Confused followers.
And confused followers. And I ask them, hey, can I help you with some answers to some of your questions? And people respond by sending me tweets that are confusing.
Can we just burst this fiction right now that you understand what's going on the internet?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you.
I don't understand what's going on the internet still. Less now than in the beginning somehow.
You know, I feel like there was a steady increase in your understanding of things, and then and it like crested and then dropped off really sharply because you like, I don't know, because life got in the way.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I feel like he started understanding stuff more for a minute.
Yeah.
And then it went away.
I feel like you're talking about Alex Bloomberg like he's a child in a developmental phase or something.
He wasn't a developmental phase.
I was.
A developmental phase of understanding the internet.
I think that's
you know
an
what
accurate
he's like?
Metaphor.
He's like flowers for Algernon. He got really smart there for a minute. now he's worse off than when he started.
Okay, so here's the tweet.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, it's from Twitter user Dave Jorgensen, verified. And it says, the Teen Vogue article is going to come back as Troy Becker.
Oh, man, this one's really good. Alex Goldman, do you understand this tweet?
I'm at exactly 50% comprehension.
Alex Bloomberg, do you understand this tweet?
No.
PJ Vogt, do you understand this tweet?
Yes.
So we're at yes, 50% no.
Yeah, we're at yes, no.
So this is one of the ones that I sort of like where like I understand every word individually, but together they make no sense. I don't actually understand every word. I understand almost all the words except for the words Troy Becker.
Okay.
I don't know who that is. And
I assumed that was a football player for some reason. I was like, that sounds like a
sports
name.
Like, it does sound like a sportsman of some kind.
It sounds like a quarterback, yeah. Or it sounds like a weird code for Tribeca.
Or
okay.
Or the kid who beat you up in high school.
Yes, it does sound like the kid who beat me up in high school.
Yeah.
His name was Phil.
Zandy Crab.
Zandy Crab was your bully?
Yeah.
Wow, Zandy Crab was somebody else's bullied.
Yeah.
And then that's how low you were on the food chain.
No,
like you were bullied by a bully.
I was also a nerd who got bullied by slightly more cool nerds. It was so bad. One time I was like standing up to this kid who had been messing with me, and I was like finally standing up for myself. And then a much cooler kid was there, and he pulled up a chair and was like, nerd fight.
That's so mean.
It was so mean.
God. It's like you can't even be like even when you're standing up for yourself when you're taking a stand you're immediately delegitimized by some third party spectator.
I know.
Oh, that
so
sucks.
Brutal.
That's awful. All right.
The tweet. Okay, so Goldman, where is your 50% in this tweet?
My 50% is the Teen Vogue article.
Okay, let's start there. Alex Bloomberg, are you familiar with, like, do you know the whole thing that, like, happened to Teen Vogue in the past couple of years?
I interviewed for this other podcast that I host called Without Fail. I interviewed Elaine Weltroth.
Oh, cool.
Who is the editor of Teen Vogue, and sort of like oversaw its sort of like somewhat surprising to many people transition from like, you know, beauty tips and secrets for teens to sort of like cogent political analysis of our current moment.
I didn't know you interviewed her. That's so funny. Yeah. That was like the big sort of like post-Trump thing was like,
yeah,
Teen Vogue became sort of like politically progressive and woke. I think a lot of people first were like, this is sort of funny. And they're like, yeah, you're kind of doing a good job. All right, welcome, Teen Vogue, to like thoughtful, progressive internet.
Right. And then the magazine version got shut down. And
like, and they just became a website.
And they became
a website. Okay, so you know that.
Yeah.
So this week, Teen Vogue posted an article that had a title like, "These Women Are Securing Facebook for the 2020 Election."
Facebook is helping ensure the integrity of the 2020 election.
How Facebook is helping ensure the integrity of the 2020 election.
Subhead, with the company's huge platform comes huge responsibility.
And everybody read it and immediately was like, this is very fishy. This is very puff PC. It feels like sponsored content.
It does. And it sounds like a press release.
It felt like a press release. It was like a glowing profile of like five women who work at Facebook. And it was just like, you know, in an environment where most people at this point don't feel good about Facebook, particularly when it comes to like safeguarding elections, it was just an article that was just like, Facebook, they're doing a great job. Everybody knows that. Let's talk to them about what a great job they're doing and the great people who are doing a great job there. Who would ever feel a different way? What else would you say in an article like this?
And was there any reference to the fact that like Facebook was implicated in a lot of like sort of like trolling and Russian botting and like sort of like problems in 2016, any of that stuff?
No, it was like the article that Facebook would have written about itself in a world where people had access to no other news sources.
And it also came...
and had 90-day memories.
Yes, yes.
And it also came in a week when a memo was leaked that was written by someone who is pretty high up at Facebook. What is his name? Bosworth.
Bosworth.
Yeah.
Bosworth.
His name is something...
Just one, I think he's Andrew name. Bosworth.
It's okay. Andrew Bosworth?
Yeah, I wanted to just be
Bosworth. You want to just be like...
Bosworth!
Bosworth, fetch my Facebook memo, please!
A butler who probably did the murder.
So Andrew Bosworth wrote a memo that was meant to be internal and got leaked. It like just was very mealy-mouthed, but essentially said like, we're not going to change anything, really. We're not going to disallow politicians from lying on our platform. We're not going to stop accepting political ads. And like the really sort of spectacular admission he made in the memo was like, he said, do I think that Donald Trump won his election because of Facebook ads? Yes, I do.
Whoa.
But not because he like cheated, not because of Cambridge Analytica, but like, yes, I think he won because he ran an incredible ad campaign on Facebook.
Oh. So not because he was lying, but because it was just like...
I think the lying probably helped.
Right. But like what Bosworth is saying is that like...
He's like, they ran an incredible ad campaign. We're not going to do anything about politicians lying on our platform.
Like, right. We're not going to do the thing that they do on the airwaves and they do everywhere else, like where, you know, which is like you have to, you can say things, but you have to say the truth.
Right.
Got it.
And
okay.
So it felt weird like one day after that happened for this article to come out about like how great they are at securing the election.
Okay.
And so it went up, right?
It went up. Immediately, a lot of people were like, this looks like sponsored content, but it's not labeled as sponsored content. Like, it looks like an ad, but you guys are acting like it's an article. What's going on? Also, the article didn't have a byline on it. Like, there's no author attached to it. So what happened was, it goes up. Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook, she posts about it. She's like, what a lovely article that was written about us by Teen Vogue. I'm so happy with it. This New York Times reporter asked Facebook, like, what is the deal with this? And Facebook says something like, you know, this isn't sponsored content. It's just a great article that happened to be written about us. The problem was Teen Vogue had already put up a thing saying that this was actually sponsored content.
Yeah, they like slapped a sponsored content tag on the article.
Then.
How long after the article went up?
Maybe a few hours?
Yeah, a couple hours.
Then they took it off. Then I think they added a byline and took the byline off. And the byline person was like, I didn't write this. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh my God. And then finally, by the end of the day, like the article, they just took the article down. It was deleted.
Wow.
And
that
so
is crazy.
Oh, the other thing that happened that was great is somebody tweeted at Teen Vogue and was like, guys, what is this? And the Teen Vogue Twitter account tweeted back at this Twitter user,
Did it say literally IDK? Like literally IDK, I don't know.
Literally, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Wow.
So as like
so a, the Teen Vogue the Twitter presence of Teen Vogue was like, what the fuck is happening on Teen Vogue?
Exactly. And like their former editors were like, whatever, like advertising is done to editorial, like is messed up, like editorial does great work. This is horrible, this is horrible, this is horrible. But like nobody knew what had happened.
Okay.
So what happened was, and this is according to Peter Kafka from Recode, he had a source who gave him the story. What happened was, I guess like a year ago, Facebook had sponsored some event for Teen Vogue, and there was supposed to be sponsored content associated with that event. But then Facebook had said, actually, we don't want you to do this, because like usually it creeps people out. Like it doesn't persuade anybody. Everyone's just like, why are you hijacking my news source? So they've been like, forget it. But then somebody in the advertising side at Teen Vogue had the piece written anyway. And then they put it into their CMS, like the tool that publishes their articles on the internet, and then just like left it there as a draft. And then months later, by accident, apparently, somebody was just like, oh, nobody published this article. And they hit it and sent it out.
Get out of here.
Oh, yes! No. It's so bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that's what they say happened.
What do you think of that?
It feels dumb enough to be true to me.
I know.
Anytime there's like a thing happens and it's like, okay, either this is an organized conspiracy or somebody hit the wrong button, I always believe the hit the wrong button thing.
Yeah.
That's been my experience of life on Earth.
Hitting the wrong button.
Yeah, people just make stupid mistakes. And like, this felt like a stupid mistake. I don't know, Alex, do you buy it?
As a person who's accidentally published an episode of our show. That was a test episode.
Friendship Village.
I was running a test on the CMS, and so I made a fake episode of the show that was called Friendship Village. It was just a copy of another episode we already had, published. Thousands of people downloaded it. And we're like, what the hell is Friendship Village?
Right.
So I believe that pressing the wrong button feels very much within the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Okay.
Human error.
So yeah. That's like the first half, like a story of weird ham-fisted screw-ups that look like conspiracy but are in fact not conspiracy. Possibly, we think, maybe.
Got it.
Also, one thing to say is I'm pretty sure this tweet was posted as, you know, Teen Vogue was like in the midst of like publishing and unpublishing and messing with this article.
Okay.
Part two is very enjoyable.
Just to remind people, the tweet again reads, the Teen Vogue article is going to come back as Troy Becker. So we've established what the Teen Vogue article is.
Yeah. 15 minutes in, we're 4 words into the tweet. Troy Becker. Okay. So, Goldman, have you ever used Musical.ly?
You mean TikTok?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you never used it before it was TikTok?
I knew about it before it was TikTok because there were like 13-year-old influencers who basically would just like lip sync to a song, and then they'd get like 15,000 comments of people being like, he's so beautiful. I can't believe it. I love him so much. What was the name of that? There's one in particular whose name I'm trying to remember, who for like a second was like the hottest. It's like the same name as every influencer. It's like Sebastian Shaw.
So, Alex, so just right. To make sure you understand this, a few years ago, there was this app that became very popular among like young teenagers called Musical.ly. And the whole point of the app was just you take a video of yourself lip syncing to a song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. You don't sing the song. You just lip sync.
Yeah.
That makes sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me.
No, it makes so much sense to me because, so, okay.
Yes.
How old I am. I am so old that I remember a time in the West before karaoke. And I remember when karaoke first came to our shores.
Really?
Yes.
I thought karaoke was always with us.
No. I remember it too.
No. And I remember people explaining karaoke to me, and I remember the explanation like, yeah, they play the song, but like the words are taken out, and so you sing the song. And I was like, oh, that person's got it backwards. Like, why would I want to hear myself singing the song? It must just be that you lip sync the song. Because I would never want to hear myself singing somebody else's song, but it would be fun to sort of lip sync the song. And so for a long time before I had done karaoke, I thought people were just like telling it to me wrong. And then I went to my first karaoke bar, and then I saw people singing the words themselves.
Yeah.
And I was like so mad. I could not believe. I was like, why do I want to listen to you mangle this song? And then I got really into it and started singing it myself. And then it was really fun.
As a person who's done karaoke with you, can I just say how glad I am that it's not just lip syncing because of your beautiful singing voice?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So Musical.ly comes out. It doesn't make sense to me. It makes a lot of sense to you. It's the thing that you thought karaoke was.
That it should have been. Finally.
It's real karaoke.
The karaoke we all wanted is here.
And there's this guy named Paul Zimmer. He's in his 20s, who becomes kind of like instantly like a huge star on Musical.ly. Like he amasses, he starts in 2015. Within 2 years, he has 7 million followers.
Oh. Whoa.
And his videos are like very much like, let me just show you one.
Okay. Okay, so he's like standing in front of a like a blank white wall, like probably in a bedroom or something like that. He's like dancing and lip syncing and doing sort of sexy moves, prancing back and forth. He's got like these like frosted...
Prancing.
Frosted tips.
He has a big...
He has the highest hair of anyone I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, now he's like showing his abs. He does a little shoulder shimmy.
He looks like a cute boy who works at the mall and like combs his hair a lot, in my opinion. Also, he doesn't have a lot of moves. It's like he chews his hoodie string, he puts his hand to his mouth like he's singing, and then he touches his hair, and then sometimes he kind of like mimes the words a little bit, and that's it. That's the whole thing. And it's all in the same bedroom. Okay, so that is Paul Zimmer. That is... What 8 million people got really excited about.
They got 8 million people got excited about that kid.
That kid, yes. Wait, actually, sorry, 7 million people.
That is wild. That's so interesting. That's sort of like, that is like, it's like literally, it's a vehicle for 8th grade popularity to go viral.
Yes, Alex?
Nothing, I'm just feeling my bubbling resentment for popular kids in 8th grade coming back.
You were just back in 8th grade for a second. Yeah. I hate you, Paul Zimmer!
I've always been like this. And they've always been like that. And I'll never forgive them for it.
So he becomes like huge on Musical.ly. Musical.ly actually got bought, renamed to TikTok. So then he became immediately, like as soon as TikTok launched, he was like one of the biggest people on TikTok. Mm-hmm. He had a big Instagram channel. He had a big YouTube channel.
And how old is he?
He's 24 now. He looks younger, right?
He looks a lot younger.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So something that sort of surprised me about Paul Zimmer, because he's like, he comes across as like literally just a pretty face. Like he doesn't seem to have like a lot of personality, but apparently he does these comedy videos. They're really bad though. So like this is from, the clip is actually from another YouTuber making fun of him, but it's Paul Zimmer. The clip starts with him just like talking on the phone to a friend of his, walking through what looks like a school.
Yeah, no, for breakfast I just had some beans. Seriously?
So wait, the video was him saying on the phone, I just had some beans, and then a fart sound?
Yeah, there's a fart sound, some passerby goes, seriously? And that's the whole video.
You know... In addition to always having resented popular people, I've always found farts very funny, so I was totally fine with that.
So
he's winning you back with that one.
But like, basically,
you know, Paul Zimmer, you're all right. Maybe we're not that different after all.
Yeah, but his farts come out of a beautiful, popular butt, Alex.
No, I'm mad again.
My theory about him up to this point is he's just like one of those people who is very good looking, who kind of maybe on one hand understands that they're very good looking because like he's taking videos of his face every day, but in another way is like doesn't understand that like some of the privileges and ease of life that he's accrued has to do with his face. Like he posts these like completely unfunny comedy videos, but they get tons of views because people are like, oh, it's another Paul Zimmer thing, whatever.
Right. Got it.
So in 2016, Musical.ly had launched this other app called Lively, where, because the problem with having like 7 million followers on Musical.ly is there's no way to make money off of that, really.
Okay.
But Lively came out and it was like, your fans could buy these stickers for money. They could give you the stickers, then you got proceeds from the money. So it was a way to like hit up your fans.
Gotcha.
And Paul Zimmer started just charging people for like whatever he could think of. He was like, if you send me stickers, I'll like share your videos. I'll send you a DM. Just like any micro social interaction on the internet, he would monetize.
Right.
The problem is when people paid him to do those things, those people said that oftentimes he would just not do them. Oh. Like hundreds of people were saying this.
Uh-huh.
And so his fans started getting very angry. There was like this whole like ban Paul Zimmer movement. Like he kind of like couldn't say anything without getting screamed at by like a horde of disappointed teenage girls.
Got it.
So like any reasonable adult, he did the only thing that made sense, which is to completely flee the internet and stop posting completely. Never to be heard from again.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's gone?
He's gone. Didn't apologize, just like left.
Wow.
Yes.
That's actually sort of an unusual ending to that story.
More unusual things will happen. So.
When was this?
This was 2017.
2017.
Like spring 2017.
So like he is like a 21st century flim flam man. Who's like basically...
He breezed into town, sold a bunch of people his snake oil.
Sold a bunch of people his like photo shares and DMs and then...
Picked up his stakes and...
Moved on.
Yep.
Moved on.
Okay.
And then 2 years later, he makes another post.
Okay.
On Instagram. I find this part very enjoyable. So October of 2019, he says... He posts a picture of himself... And a picture of this actor.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole post is just like, doesn't this actor kind of look like me? Like he says, hey, this actor, @TroyBecker IG kid, literally looks like a younger, sexier version of me. Crying smiley face emoji. I don't even use social media anymore, but had to post this, ha ha ha. And then he posts a side by side of them. This is Paul. This is the guy, Troy.
they're the same person.
They're exactly the same person.
I mean, Paul, he tried to make it them look as different as possible because the quote-unquote Paul photo is sort of like dimly lit and it's very like it's a very candid photo. It's just like on a cell phone and he's like he's got like a lot of stubble and he's like sort of like not as
polished.
And then the Troy photo, the quote-unquote Troy photo, is like very – it's like a headshot. It's got glam. It's got that sort of like spherical gray thing that they do in the background of like school photos. And it's like he's definitely got makeup on and like
– But they're not even different enough. If Paul like went into work one day and yes. Troy went in the next, nobody would be like, did you get a haircut?
Yeah.
It's not different enough for the did you get a haircut.
Exactly. Well, because they didn't. It's the same haircut.
And then he makes another post where he says, hey, it's Paul Zimmer. This is probably going to be my last social post ever. I've just come to a place in my life where being in the spotlight and being an entertainer is no longer my passion. Although it deeply saddens me to leave so bluntly, especially that so many of you have watched me for so many years, I didn't want my social media pages just sitting to die. So I've decided to give my social media accounts to Troy Becker. I don't know what you guys are laughing at.
Subtle. This was in October?
Wow. Yeah. Because he's one of the dopest people I know. And he's literally my younger twin, my much younger twin. I believe Troy is 15 or 16 years old. Ha 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 ha. So this is a 24-year-old man trying to convince people he's a 16-year-old boy.
There's a certain kind of like... There's a certain kind of internet scam where, like, it's so brazen that, like, I really, really... I feel like there was this heavy metal musician who was, like, doing a solo tour across Europe and basically, I feel like, made a bunch of fake accounts and, like, made up a fake agent. There was, like, this very
big
thing.
He convinced people that he was in a real band that had tons of listeners. Uh-huh. And then he would show up at these dates and he had, like, a fake fan accounts and all this stuff. And then he would get himself booked and he would show up at venues and nobody would show up because his band didn't actually have any fans. Like, it was just him and some musicians who he'd hired who didn't realize, like, what he was actually up to.
Right.
It is that level of audacity.
Like, it just, there are some people who really shoot the moon. They're just like, you know what? I'm going to figure it out when I get there. And, like, that's what this feels like to me.
Do you guys want to meet Troy Becker? You want to see his introduction video?
Yes.
Hey, what's up? My name is Troy Becker. I'm an actor. Paul Zimmer reached out to me and asked to record a video because he says he really, really looks like me, and he wanted to post it onto something called TikTok. So here you go, Paul Zimmer.
Wait, he's 15 or 16.
Yeah.
It's October of 2019, and he doesn't know what TikTok is.
He doesn't know what TikTok is. There's also a lot of videos where he'll be like, Paul Zimmer says we really look alike, but I don't know. I don't really see it.
Wow.
So everyone notices. Like, everyone
notices.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah.
We're a very visual species. I love that he made the plot problem of everything from like Shakespeare to Superman to Three's Company, the fact that you can easily disguise yourself, which in reality you can't do. He took that problem and made it his, like, that was his plan.
Yes. The other thing I want to say about this scam is that I kind of fell for a version of this, like, in my lifetime, which is that when I was like a kid, I was like an extremely, extremely gullible child. Like, mm-hmm. like really, really the most. Like, one time at camp, a bunch of kids told me there was a rumor going around that I wore diapers to camp. And the only way I could disprove the rumor was like pulling down my pants in front of everybody.
Super simple.
I was like, well, I'm all not you have stupid. To do to, yeah. I'll do that. But when I was like 10, my aunt and my cousin moved to Philly and they like stayed with us for a while while they were getting on their feet. And my cousin just like loved to tell me elaborate lies because I believed every single one of them.
Right.
And one day he came downstairs and I was like, hey, how's it going? And I said his name. He's like, that's not my name. And I was like, what? And he's like, my name's Jack the Bulldog. And he told me that he was a man named Jack the Bulldog who looked exactly like my cousin, but it flushed my cousin down the drain. And the only difference between my cousin and Jack was that Jack talked in an artificially gravelly voice and he wore sunglasses all the time. And I was like, but those are my sunglasses.
You really would have benefited from having an older sibling.
But you were like, but I guess it's true?
I guess it's true. You know, I thought that a murderer lived in my house and that I couldn't tell anybody.
How old were you?
10.
Oh my God.
Too old.
That is so funny. But you know what? My son, who's 9 and a half, would totally be the same way.
Like, really?
Oh yeah. I think there's something about, it's funny because I think you've overcompensated and now you're like shifty and skeptical, but probably there's something about like when you're young and you have no instinct towards guile at all.
Yeah.
Like my son, it's baffling. Like why anybody would ever do that.
Yeah.
And I wonder if you were that kind of kid.
I think so. Also, it's just like, if you love stories, you'll believe bullshit stories for a long time. And then when you realize people make up bullshit stories, you'll be like, oh, well, that seems fun too.
Yeah, yeah.
I convinced my next door neighbor that there was a boy living in the walls of her house. So
really?
Yeah. When I was a kid, I was probably, couldn't have been older than 9 because I moved when I was 9. But
it's like the only two kinds of kids are liars and chumps.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Totally.
Getting back to Paul Zimmer. So basically, as soon as he posted that second quote unquote Troy Becker post, everybody just started making fun of him. Like,
so this does not go unnoticed.
This does not go unnoticed.
The uncanny resemblance.
Every single time he tries to post anything as Troy, all these fans show up, just like thousands of comments, every single comment either being like, dude, somebody was like, what was it? Like you're like the CEO of pretending to be somebody else. Or the other thing they'll do is they'll be like, they'll just quote back Paul Zimmer lines where they'll be like, man, Troy, you really look a lot like Paul Zimmer, like a younger, sexier Paul Zimmer. So like, does not work remotely. And I don't know how it was supposed to work in his head. Like, I don't know what the plan even was.
Oh, I thought the plan was like, I will just be able to carry on.
He wanted
collecting
to,
money from the internet.
He wanted
this new person.
He wanted a Dick Whitman, Don Draper scenario where he was going to take over that his life and just like he would have all of that person's accolades and needs and desires and be able to exploit their platform to get more money.
Right.
He no longer has the baggage.
It's a rebrand.
It was a rebrand.
He no longer has the baggage of having not fulfilled all of those things that he got paid for.
Yeah. Companies get to do it all the time. Like, they're like, we're not Cigarette Death Company anymore. We're Fresh Air Company now.
Right, exactly.
But we sell cigarettes.
We're not Blackwater. We're XE.
Right. There was GE Financial that became Ally Bank.
Oh, yes, I thought Ally Bank was a new bank.
No, so Ally Bank was that was the rebrand. They did a good job. They were one of the most bailed out banks of the financial crisis.
Really, Ally Bank is no longer.
It sounds friendly.
It does. Exactly. They're your allies.
Exactly.
I'm like, what kind of idiot would fall for this thing that I definitely fell for?
Also, the rebrand is like.
I also wondered why. I was like, I've never heard of this bank. Why do they buy so much advertising on everything?
On NPR.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Also, the rebrand, like visually, it's like purple. It's got like this sort of like moderny look. To it. It
they're like
not
a younger
like
a, version.
They're like a younger, sexier version of G Financial.
No, it's G. Wait, hold on 1 second. It's G, is it GE or GM? Hold on. Yeah, Ally Bank was like the GMAC, which was the financial arm of GM, General Motors.
God.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
So in Troy Baker's case, I think he was just trying to like just smile through all this. And then this journalist for the New Statesman wrote just like a huge piece. That's the reason I know about this. And after that, he shut down everything. Like, Troy Baker seems to have disappeared as thoroughly as Paul Zimmer did before him.
Got it.
And I mean, that'll probably be it until Troy Baker notices that there's a musician who looks a lot like him, who's a little bit younger and sexier, and decides out of the goodness of his heart to hand over his accounts to him.
That's amazing.
Alex Bloomer, do you want to try to go back and explain this tweet to us?
Yes, I do. Okay, so this tweet... the tweet again, Dave Jorgensen tweeted this. The Teen Vogue article is going to come back as Troy Baker. Okay. So the idea is basically, there was an article posted on Teen Vogue that looks suspiciously like sponsored content. They took it down and it was caused a little bit of a brouhaha. That's the Teen Vogue part. And then there's this, the Troy Baker part is there was this, TikTok star named Paul Zimmer who made a bunch of promises that he didn't deliver on. His fans got really, really mad at him. He disappeared, then came back months later.
Years later.
Years later.
Years year, later.
Years later. It took him years to hatch this plan. Good God. Anyway, and then he came back years later saying like, I found this guy who looks a lot like me, except he's just younger and handsomer. And he's going to take over my account. See you guys later. And then the new guy was named Troy Baker. The new guy, air quotes, new guy was named Troy Baker. And then he looked exactly like the old guy, Paul Zimmer, and everybody on the internet noticed and was like, you're the same person.
Yes. All okay. Right. Are we at yes, yes, yes?
Yes. I understand.
I also understand 100%.
All right. I think we're at yes, yes, yes. Coming up after the break, more yes, yes, no.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
Alex, you have another tweet for us?
I do. I have another tweet. It's from a Twitter user named John Cardillo. And the tweet goes like this. Hashtag moves like Bloomberg gate whistleblower at Nick Cirelli deserves our support. Parentheses, best controversy I've seen in a while. And parentheses, hashtag moves like Bloomberg. Hashtag dropout Bloomberg.
Do you feel implicated by this?
No.
It's a different spelling of Bloomberg, I think.
But it's got a bunch of retweets, a bunch of likes, and I don't know. What's going on here?
So, PJ Vogt, do you understand this tweet?
I do.
Alex Bloomberg, do you understand this tweet?
No.
I was going, do you understand this tweet?
I do.
All right. We're back where we're supposed to be. Okay. I think it starts with Pete Buttigieg, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Do you know about the Mayor Pete dance?
The Mayor Pete dance?
Yeah, you know about Pete Buttigieg, right?
I know about Pete Buttigieg.
Mayor Pete?
I did not know he had a dance, though.
Oh, he does.
Oh.
Okay. So all right. Let's do the Mayor Pete dance.
This is exciting.
Can I do it? Do you? It's like this. Wait, can you put on the song High Hopes?
Yeah. Okay. So the dance is to the Panic at the Disco song High Hopes,
which
right?
I'd never heard before. The Mayor Pete
dance. Oh yeah, I know. I know this because my kids like it.
What the song? High hopes for the living. So just so you know, like this is a thing that the Mayor Pete campaign thought would be like a great motivator for Mayor Pete. Uh-huh. Campaign volunteers, right?
Yeah, like when they're like out in the field, they're feeling bored, or like when they need to get like fired up before a meeting, like they play this song and they do the dance that Alex is about to do for you. You know how to do the dance fully?
Oh, I've watched the videos of this so many
times.
Wait,
it's like a line dance? It's like the Cha-Cha like Sliders thing?
It's a dance that's simple enough that you can pick it up after
I would call it a
it
sub Macarena Macarena. Okay. I've got Panic at the Disco.
Can I just preface by saying that like my mom, her entire life has done a dance that is specifically designed to embarrass me in public, and it is remarkably close to Mayor Pete dance.
Okay, you're going to do it. Bloomer can describe what's happening.
All right.
All right. In one, two, three, showtime.
So it's just like, oh my. So it's just like, in a quadrant, the hands move in the four quadrants. High, high, low, low. And they do, sometimes they point, sometimes they do the, like, we're moving wheelie motion. Sometimes they clap. It's just like,
you
going
push your
high,
hands
high,
up.
High, high, down, 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 down. Up, right, up, right. It's like YMCA a little bit. It's like
YMCA.
But there are videos of Mayor Pete volunteers in great big lines.
Yeah, check
great
this out.
Big groups doing
what?
It.
Hold on.
This is them doing it at lunch break at the hashtag Pete Summit. In just like a drab hotel conference room.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Everybody, it's like literally like just like picture the drabbest conference room with like this chairs and the raised podium and like the lanyards and all the people sitting there. And then all of a sudden they're standing up and doing this dance.
It looks like an S meeting or something.
It does. It looks really creepy. It looks like when I took Calvin to the basketball game and they saw the cheerleaders come out and do their routines, he was looking at it and he was just like, Daddy, it's pleasing to the eye to see people doing the same thing all at the same time. I was like, you nailed that. But but it is pleasing in some situations, but then it's also creepy in some situations. And so like that and like North Korean political rallies, it's like really creepy to see people doing the same thing in unison.
It feels like forced fun.
Yeah.
I wonder what the political calculus of that kind of thing is. It feels to me a little bit like there's so much grassroots support to this that everybody knows that they can spontaneously break out into a choreographed dance.
I was listening to Pod Save America and they were talking about it and they were like, it was funny because I think they're trying not to side with any of the Democratic candidates in the primary season. So they're like, we're not trying to say anything bad about Mayor Pete. The dance is really nerdy. And then one dude was like, well, if you've ever like door knocked or like done grassroots stuff, it's just really, really boring and soul sucking. And so like anything you can do to just like, here's the fun thing we do. Like you're just constantly trying to make people more energetic. And so he saw it as just like that it's not for Twitter, even though they're putting it on Twitter, but it's like just like a rah rah, let's go get them.
I don't know, man. If I were doing that, I just wouldn't let it end up on the internet.
But I also like I'm coming across snarkier about this than I want to actually, because like I'm glad that those people are dancing in that conference room.
Yeah. So, but people made fun of this, and I think also part of the reason people made fun of this is like Mayor Pete, he doesn't do well on Twitter. Like the world of Twitter, at least the Twitter that I see, is like conservatives who obviously aren't going to like a Democratic presidential candidate. But then people, if they're on the left, they tend to be like far on the left.
Right.
And he's kind of seen as like insufficiently progressive and insincere and dweeby.
Right.
And so the dweeby dance kind of plays into that.
Right.
And so people were like, there were lots of videos of people just doing the dance, but they were like, they were pretending that they thought it was cool, but they didn't think it was cool.
Right.
There was a lot of people doing the dance to just like different songs. And it's just sort of funny under any song, but it works under almost any song.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like a cycle. It was like, I think they started posting the dance online in September, and like it felt like September through the winter there was a lot of making fun of this.
Okay.
And then Michael Bloomberg enters a presidential race.
No relation,
different spelling. And he is kind of disliked, actually, in a similar way to Mayor Pete on like progressive Twitter. You know, mm-hmm. he's a billionaire. He was really into Stop and Frisk. It's like, this is not who a lot of people want. So this comedian named Nick Sorelli posts the following tweet. A tweet that has 2,721 retweets. Look out, hashtag Team Pete, because us Bloomberg heads have our own dance. Taken at the Mike Bloomberg rally in Beverly Hills. Hashtag Bloomberg 2020. Hashtag moves like Bloomberg. One important thing to know before you see this video is that at the time he made this tweet, he had changed his Twitter avatar to look like a young political aide, and changed his Twitter bio to say that he worked for the Bloomberg campaign. So he tweets this out. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to describe what you've seen?
So it was like, it looked like sort of like a studio audience, like when they like pan the camera and you're looking at it, it's like a bunch of people in sort of a narrower, darker room. It's not like a conference room.
Yeah.
They're on bleachers in a smaller room. There's a whole bunch of them and they're like, the song's playing and the first move, and it's like the same thing. It's like, move to the right, move to the left, down low, up high, same sort of like, it's the same sort of thing, except they instead of what they're doing is they're like, sort of like doing this finger waggy thing.
It's kind of a disco point.
It's like a disco point, but it also seems like, shame, 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 a little bit, like with this finger is just like you and you and you and you and you in a sort of a finger waggy way.
Yeah.
And then at the end, they do the thing where you hold your nose and pretend to go underwater. Can I just say that when I first saw this, I was completely taken in. And I went into the group chat that I'm in and was like, guys, you will not believe this. And posted it. And they were like, yeah, but it's a joke. And I was like, oh, I'm an idiot.
The only reason I didn't fall for it, honestly, is because the place where they recorded it is Upright Citizens Brigade LA Theater, and I've been there.
Oh. Right.
I just recognized the room. It was so fully on that Uncanny Valley satire line. The other thing that sort of makes it convincing is that the demographics of the people at this comedy show, which are like young, pretty male, pretty white, mm-hmm. look like how you would imagine people working on the Bloomberg campaign.
Right.
But everybody fell for it. Like,
oh, really?
Everybody fell for it. Like, besides Alex Goldman, just like all these journalists and writers who work on the internet and are like good at reading the internet, like Jeet here, Hunter Walker just said, quote, Bloomberg heads, because they refer themselves as Bloomberg heads in Beverly Hills. Maggie Haberman tweeted
Whoa.
It. She put a question mark on it, but she tweeted it.
Uh-huh.
So just like everybody.
Everybody
fell for it. But so the next thing that happens.
Okay.
Team Bloomberg campaign uh-huh. has to do something.
Yes.
And they try to do something in like a good spirited, we're not mad way. Uh-huh. So they tweet, to clarify, at Nick Sorelli is not an intern for our campaign and he does not have moves like Bloomberg. Nick, apply to work for us here. And then there's a link to where you can work for the campaign.
Got it. Fine.
And then Nick does an incredible, just like a tiny bit of world building.
Yes. Do you remember the tweet?
So much better. I don't.
He says, wait, are you firing me? So then Nick tweets, as a creator of hashtag moves like Bloomberg, I disavow it and the Mike Bloomberg presidential campaign. Read the truth about the dance here. Hashtag drop out Bloomberg. And then there's a tweet where he says, I have plenty more to share, but what people are saying is true. The moves like Bloomberg dance was orchestrated. Drop out Bloomberg. And then he has a note, like a fake email that says budget to pay dancing actors. Hey, Nick, I've just received approval from on high for you to hire 50 to 60 actors to pose as supporters during the moves like Bloomberg dance you choreographed. We want to create the impression that enthusiastic young people are excited about Mike, and they came up with the infectious dance spontaneously. We blocked out 8 hours for you to rehearse with actors next week, and we can allot $20 an actor. They must all sign NDAs. Also, unrelated, we are discontinuing your gas stipend as part of the all-around crunch that's been happening. Brad Evans, social media coordinator, Bloomberg 2020.
Okay.
So, like, I think at this point, like, most journalists realize uh-huh. they've been trolled, except for the right. Like, Breitbart writes a story about it. They're like, the Bloomberg campaign made this super embarrassing video, and then they fired the guy who made it.
Oh, my God.
There's certain corners of, like, alt-right internet that love the idea that, or they like, often whenever there's signs of, like, progressive grassroots support. They're like, they're paid, they're crisis actors, whatever.
Right.
And it's just like so served right at their existing beliefs.
Uh-huh.
So Seb Gorka tweets, apparently not a parody. Donald Trump Jr. favorites the tweet with the like crisis actor email in it. So, okay. So that's the full, that's like the full troll of it.
Okay.
John Cardillo, who did the tweet, he's sort of like a fixture on conservative, on like alt-right internet. Mm-hmm. He's this, he used to be in the NYPD, which he talks about constantly. And the thing he's kind of famous for is in response to this like protest in the city, he posted a picture of himself on Twitter pointing a gun at the camera, essentially threatening any protesters who came near him.
Got it. Okay.
Charmer.
He was one of the, I think, early wave people. Like at the point he's tweeting about this, he believes that the Bloomberg team has fired their crisis actors and that their crisis actors have fully gone rogue.
So the John Cardillo tweet is, he's in the midst of, this is during the action, and he believes that the Moves Like Bloomberg thing is real.
Yes, and that the dropout Bloomberg thing is real. I mean, it's like, what would be more fun than somebody you politically disagree with being so unpopular, they hired actors to pretend to support them, but then were so cheap that they didn't pay the actors enough. And like the thing backfires and the actors are like going public because they don't care about $20 an hour and telling everybody what happened.
Right.
It's like a very enjoyable fiction.
That would be, yes, yes, that would be. Got it. I think we are at yes, yes, yes. So, all right. So this tweet again, hashtag moves like Bloomberg Gate, whistleblower at Nick Cirelli deserves our support, parentheses, best controversy I've seen in a while, hashtag moves like Bloomberg, hashtag dropout Bloomberg. I now know that this tweet is not a joke, but a sincere expression of feeling on Twitter by this guy, John Cardillo, who is a conservative right-wing person who's rooting against the Democrats generally and rooting against Mayor Bloomberg in this particular instance because he believes this controversy that this guy Nick ginned up about Mike Bloomberg and his awkward dance. But it was just a joke.
Okay. I think we're yes, yes, yes.
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
One last thing before we go.
Okay.
Alex.
Ugh. What?
You want to dance us out?
No.
Come on, buddy.
No. What?
I'll do it with you.
I'll play a song you might like.
Oh, yeah.
He can't resist the music.
Wow, those are some moves.
Also, this is a synthesizer song that Alex Goldman wrote.
Yeah, I made this song.
Wonderful. Reply All is hosted by me, PJ Vogt, and Alex Goldman. We're produced by Shruti Panamaneni, Fia Benin, Damiano Marchetti, Anna Foley, Jessica Young, and Emmanuel Jochi. Our executive producer is Tim Howard. We're mixed by Rick Kwan, fact-checking by Michelle Harris. Our intern is Rachel Cohn. Oh, one final announcement. Next Tuesday, we are going to be taking phone calls again. If you have a technical problem that you would like solved or a technical question you would like answered, give us a call. The phone number is 862-367-9356. We're going to be there from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. The theme song to our show is by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our ad music is by Build Buildings. Matt Lieber is a part of the year where the days finally start getting longer again. You can listen to the show on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.